It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
When I see BS like this, it really ticks me off, okay? What the hell are the players thinking about here? Josh Allen, one of the top three quarterbacks, one of them dogs that can literally put a franchise on his back, and he's somehow overrated? Are we saying this because he hasn't been able to get past Patrick Mahomes, who I've constantly said, we're like in our Jordan era right now. That's who I'm comparing Patrick Mahomes to. Michael freaking Jordan, okay? And we want to sit here and talk about Josh Allen's overrated. I tell you what, if Josh Allen was available to go on your team, I know damn well you want Josh Allen on your team.
That's the best point, right, by Damian Woody, which is, okay, let's take everybody who said he's the most overrated, whoever that is, whatever players put him high on their list, then say to them, if every quarterback was available in the league, rank where you'd put Josh Allen to get to. They'd all have him like top three or four at worst, right? Come on. Give me a break. For sure. I misspoke on the last segment, and I'll tell you why I misspoke, but thank you. Anytime you misspeak on the radio, people let you know about it, so I did. So I said the Pac-12 now is Oregon State and Washington. Of course, it's Oregon State and Washington State. Not Washington, it's Washington State. Thank you very much to Mayor Jeff, who reached out to me via Twitter to let me know. And thank you. I do appreciate that because I should get it correct. And I'll tell you why I read it that way. Because this is getting connected with our fans. It's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. The reason I read it that way, I actually went to Wikipedia to make sure. Like, I'm like, okay, I'll go to Wikipedia. I'll get the two schools that are in, so I don't mess it up. And I still messed it up. And the reason is, if you go there, depending on how your font is, it says Oregon State University, and then below it says Washington, and then the next line, state universities. They couldn't fit state. So I just read Washington without looking underneath it. My bad. It's just because it's so confusing, you had to make sure, and then I screwed it up. So thank you, Jeff, for reaching out to me and let me know. Oregon State and Washington State, the only two teams in the Pac-12. Can we do this with the NFL? Realign and have like two team divisions or something like that? Alex Brasky joins me on the West Her Hotline. What do you think? Realignment in the NFL, what would it look like? How do we do this?
I don't know. That's an interesting question. I think you obviously divide it east and west, kind of similar to the NBA. I like the idea to sell. I think these divisions may be a little bit dated. Why don't we go for something new, a fresh start?
Yeah, listen, I mean, back in the day, as they say, the reason why they could never, like, you couldn't put, like, you had to have the two New York teams separate back when you had the two LA teams separate, and this is even before the current LA teams, things like that. You had to kind of balance out the TV markets because CBS had the AFC and Fox had the NFC, or maybe CBS had the NFC and NBC had the AFC back when I was a kid. So you could never have, if the one big market, then you had to have another big market kind of even each other out. Nowadays, Alex, as you know, games can be on any platform, any network, anytime, anywhere. We know that with all the streaming, with how they share. So honestly, like, you could do geographic now, and it kind of wouldn't matter with the TV market sizes, to be quite honest.
Yeah, I'm totally in on this. Give me Bills, Browns rivalry. Give me...
Yeah.
I mean, I'm all in on that. Give me the rehash of the 6-3 game that we had years ago.
No one wants to see that again. No one wants to see that again. But what will it look like this year? Alex Brasky joining me here on the West Her Hotline. Of course, Batavia Daily, also Bills Digest. All right. 53-man roster. Let's catch up. Let's circle back to Tuesday. What surprised you, if anything, about the final, the initial 53?
Well, I think clearly with the initial 53, the surprises were with Tyrell Shavers and KJ Hamler both missing the roster, and then Daquan Hardy. I think all of us on the beat watching practices preseason, that joint practice with the Steelers, Daquan Hardy was not only a star in terms of being a rookie, but just a star on the field overall. I thought he really shined in his opportunities on the boundary. He was brought in just as that slot corner type, but really performed a bit better in that regard. Now, there were some concerns with his special teams risk-taking and feeling the ball inside the five, but I think that was just a matter of a rookie trying to prove himself, maybe a little bit over-eager to do so. So those were my biggest surprises. You look down the list, Kingsley Jonathan, that was also a surprise to find out your report that he is an international pathway player, and certainly the Bills taking advantage of that.
And I just want to say, and that's a great distinction. So it's not even pathways. He's just an international player now, and that's actually kind of been revised. So the pathways program is different. It's so confusing now. I was surprised too, Alex, but he's an international player, not part of the pathways program, but now you actually get an exemption for one international player since he was born in Nigeria and still has his citizenship there.
Yeah, very interesting. And obviously Travis Clayton was kind of pegged as that player.
Yes.
He's since moved to IR and his season is over, so that allowed them to keep Jonathan in that role. And I was impressed, I thought, with his preseason. I thought particularly on special teams he really had a good stretch. But Javon Solomon, being the rookie, that high upside, I think he just kind of overtook him in terms of the pass rushing role. But good to keep Jonathan, maybe a surprise or two, but relatively cut and dry, I think. We talk so much about getting these players back on the practice squad, and we're worried when they're cut in terms of Bills fans' discussion. And it's really all for naught at the end of the day, because you see the Bills really had their pick of the litter in terms of bringing players back on their squad.
And then the practice squad gets formed. Actually, you know what? Before I get to that, let's go to Joe Andreessen. I think most of us, you included, you know, thought Joe was going to make the team. But how solid do you think that his footing is here on the team, and what do you think his role is?
I think it's solid. I don't think you put a player like this with his type of story. I think you take that into consideration when you're making this decision. You don't want to get fans' hopes up and then kind of pull the carpet out from under them a few weeks later by cutting the guy. And I think his performance on the field also justified it. You saw that performance against the Steelers, and while he didn't have as impressive as a performance against the Carolina Panthers, he, I think, was involved on that touchdown early in the game from Bryce Young, maybe a miscommunication in the middle, but still afforded himself pretty well. And just the way that his team has seemed to rally around him, I think it gives them something to really spur this team along as they go into this season, just a heartwarming story, and really the production matched it as well.
Alex Brasky on the Western Hotline. All right, practice squad gets formed. Everybody who was on the initial practice squad on Wednesday was actually, you know, somebody the team had released, and then they added a couple guys. Let's talk about these guys. Jalen Virgil, and not necessarily him specifically. He is a guy that, you know, has a little bit of juice, but just a wide receiver group. You mentioned Tyrell Shavers. KJ Hamler does come back. No more Andy Isabella. They moved on from Justin Shorter, who has since signed with the Vegas Raiders. How do you see that group from top to bottom, including the rostered players and the practice squad?
Yeah, I think it's strong. I think you bring back a lot of young talent that you're hoping to continue to develop. You saw that the past few seasons with an Alec Anderson, a Ryan Vandermark really working their way up through this system. And you bring back a Zach Davidson, a Richard Garage, a Tylon Grable to the 53-man roster. I think that's the transition the Bills are trying to make. You had so many veterans toward the bottom of the roster the past several years, and now you make that transition with so many new faces, not only in the starting lineup, but you keep a Tecori Couch and players like that. I think it's really important to develop that end of your roster and really bring the youth movement along here while they go through this transition. You hold on to a Daquan Hardy, too. I just think from top to bottom, this team, while the floor may not be as high as it's been in recent years,
right.
I think the ceiling may be a lot higher for this team. You have a lot of unproven talent, a lot of untapped potential. It could go either way, but I think it was time to move on from some of the players they did last year. You look at some of the losses they encountered with a Jordan Poyer, even a Micah Hyde that is still being discussed to come back to the team. Mitch Morse, really players kind of on the downside of their career, and to bring in these young players to potentially replace them, I think that's very important in this transition that they're going through.
All right, well, speaking of all that, pretty interesting move yesterday. They signed Lewis Seen. First-round pick just a couple of years ago, Kyer Elam's draft class. He was the number 32 overall pick. I mean, I don't know if you have any thoughts on Seen himself. You can get into that, but just the overall safety position in conjunction with what you just said and what it means to bring a guy like that in.
Yeah, I think it works against the narrative of bringing Micah Hyde back, right? I think that's definitely what they're trying to do. I mentioned the youth movement. I think they're looking for maybe some lightning in a bottle here with one of these younger players bringing in, trying to replace the Jordan Poyer, the Micah Hyde. They're pretty set on Taylor Rapp. I think they were set on Mike Edwards, but the injury maybe set him back. So giving some of these younger players these opportunities on the practice squad. You also keep a Kareem Jackson to potentially fill in. I think they're trying to catch lightning in a bottle here and figure out just what's going to stick in this safety room. I think they're uncertain beyond Rapp, but they've certainly brought in a lot of options. And Lewis Seen, once a highly touted prospect, obviously dealt with the significant injury, but this team is known to develop defensive backs. And if he can remain healthy and potentially get back to that high prospect status, it could be a good move for this group.
Alex, what do you think about what they've done in the return game here? Obviously, we mentioned Daquan Hardy a little while ago, you did, and Brandon Bean said it just wasn't quite there yet. Like, they like him. His arrow's up, but it's not quite there yet. And there's a lot of his trust, but they do trade for a guy in Brandon Codrington, who on his first day in Buffalo, I asked him, what's the windiest you've ever fielded the ball in a game? But he said today, there wasn't a game, but it wasn't even that windy. But he obviously, it's a guy that they've done some work on. They trust he'll be able to do it. KJ Hamler's still around. How do you feel about how they've approached that position?
Yeah, I think they're just uncomfortable with the inexperience of a player like Daquan Hardy. And with the new kickoff and so many changes, it's tough enough for this coaching staff to kind of understand what they're going to go with week one. And I don't think they're comfortable with putting a player like Hardy taking so many risks during the preseason. And you saw Codrington just explode during this preseason with the Jets in terms of his return ability. I think he broke like a couple of tackles per return or something like that. So I can only imagine the Bills special team scouts just watching this guy throughout the preseason, knowing the team's need at kick returner and knowing how Hardy had some slip-ups. KJ Hamler never really stepped to the forefront. I think this team was kind of perusing the market throughout the preseason and looks like they found their guy. And then you bring in a Virgil who also has some return ability. So I think maybe that has yet to be fully decided in terms of a season-long answer, but looks like they're ready to go with Codrington at least to start the year.
One of the bigger questions, most frequent questions we all get is about Tyler Bass. He had an uneven training camp kicking. He was 5-for-5 until his final kick he missed in the preseason against the Panthers. But there's a lot of concern from Bills fans. How concerned are you? And what do you think the organization feels, what their concern level is?
I think there's definitely cause for concern. And I mentioned it, I think, on Right Here, Right Now, our podcast at the Batavia Daily News with my co-host A.J. Cebulski, how I think the Bills would have loved to get out of that preseason without that last opportunity for Tyler Bass. You presented that long kick in that game, and with all the doubt circling amongst the fan base, I think they would have maybe much rather gone into the regular season without a potential for a miss. They've been trying to build his confidence throughout this offseason. Yep. At every turn. Every time you ask Sean McDermott or Brandon Bean about Tyler Bass, it seems like they go out of their way to try to build this guy's confidence. And that's really what it comes down to for me. This guy has the ability. We've seen it in the past. Big leg, has made clutch kicks before, but something turned last year, I think, in terms of his mindset or his psyche, just something there that he's lacking the confidence now that he needs. We saw him go perfect in the preseason leading up to that game, but finally tested from beyond 50 yards and failed the test. And I think that can only hurt his confidence going into the regular season. Now, if we see in these first few weeks he gets a few opportunities and comes through in big spots, maybe he makes a game-winning kick, maybe it all turns around for him. Now, that's how fragile it can be for these kickers. But I think if you ask me right now, I think I'm concerned with Tyler Bass, and I think if you were to give the Bills some truth serum, I think they'd also tell you they're concerned with Tyler Bass. They just are not going to say that publicly because that's just going to dash his confidence even further.
Who are you higher on in the AFC, the Jets or the Dolphins, and why?
Oh, the Jets for sure. I'm really low on the Dolphins this year. I think they're going to be able to score with the best of them as usual. They add speed on speed this year. I know Odell Beckham Jr. is going to be out a little while, but you have Jalen Waddle, you have Tyreek Hill. The running backs that they have are incredible in terms of their speed, so they're going to be able to score. I don't think they're going to be able to stop anybody. They sustained so many losses on defense. They're still dealing with some injuries on that side of the ball. I was listening to your interview with Marcel Louis-Jacques. They're also dealing with some injuries on the offensive line. So I think this could be a down year for the Dolphins. And conversely, the Jets. Now, a lot remains to be seen with the Jets. They're a completely unproven commodity. Aaron Rodgers left, four plays last year. So we don't know what we're going to see from him. But the cast that they've assembled around him, I think it's one of the most talented in the AFC, definitely the AFC East. You have Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall, two of the best players at their position, not only in the conference, but the league. And then you look at that defense year after year, it's a bugaboo for the Bills and one of the most dominant units in the league. If the Jets can all get it right, now I say if, it is the Jets at the end of the day, but if they can all get it, if they can get it all right, I think I'd be much more concerned with the Jets than the Dolphins heading into this season.
All right, last night we had our big Bills media fantasy football draft. There's two different leagues essentially. Then at the end, you play off for a championship. Are you and I? Are we in the same league, same division? I don't think we are. Are we?
I don't think we are. I think I'm in the North Towns,
and I'm in the South
division.
Towns.
Yeah, I think that's the case.
Yeah, I think I'm in with.
I was scouring the player list. I was wondering if I could draft Travis Hunter, and you're my go-to guy for NFL rules and bylaws. Can the Bills sign Travis Hunter to their practice squad?
So.
Is that something that's legal?
You know what? Here's the thing I would tell you. No, okay, but who knows these days? Maybe college football just says, go ahead, you can do it. And the NFL says, yeah, we'll do it, right? I have no idea. I don't know if you heard, I just interviewed John Wildhack, the Syracuse athletic director. I mean, it's wild out there, no pun intended on his name, but it is really, really crazy, all these rules to try and keep track. You know, you're right. There's a lot for the NFL, and I pride myself on trying to know those rules and keep everybody up to date and all of our followers, and we try to do that with the CBA. I mean, it's even more wacky right now in college. So you combine those together, maybe they can sign Travis Hunter. I'm not really sure about that, to be honest with you.
I mean, what a performance from him last night. That
amazing
catch in the end zone in the corner. It's like when you're playing a video game and it's like a glitch happens. That's really what happened. I don't know how he caught that ball through the pass interference, through the tight coverage. Just incredible performance from him. If he stays healthy this year, I mean, he's got Heisman written all over him.
Yeah, for sure. How does your team look after last night? How'd you come out of last night?
I like it. I got a few mixed reviews when I posted on Twitter. Let me pull it up here.
Did? I didn't see you post it. That's great. I love that. I did not post mine on Twitter, but maybe I will later.
I did take Khalil Shakir. He's my third wide receiver. I got Garrett Wilson and Rashee Rice ahead of him. I think I'm a little weak at wide receiver. I'm playing two tight ends in my starting lineup, one at flex. So it's going to be an interesting year. One of the jokes was my running backs need an AARP card. I got Derrick Henry in my starting lineup, and I got Zeke Elliott on my bench. So I'm really hoping that 2018 can be reinvigorated here.
All right, so I'm looking at my team. Because we're in like different leagues, even though you can play each other at the end, we both drafted Javonte Williams, so that's good. I like my receivers. I have Justin Jefferson, Jalen Waddle, and T. Higgins. I think I'm pretty set there. So I like
that. That is absolutely solid.
Yeah, a little different than you. Well, it'll be fun. We always like to, you know, see where our media colleagues fall, and people can roast us as you did. You tweeted it out at Alex Brasky, by the way, on Twitter. You want to roast Alex's, you know, fantasy football. How many fantasy football leagues are you in?
I'm in two. I'm in one with my buddies from high school and another with the media group. I've kind of trimmed my leagues over the years. Fantasy football for me isn't really what it used to be. I think there's a little bit too much that goes into it. Some of these mm-hmm. people that you're in leagues with just study it to death, and it really makes the playing field very, very difficult for us who are more casual observers of the fantasy scope.
Yeah, I totally hear you on that. All right, tell everybody where they can catch the podcast. They can read everything that you're putting out there. And as we head into week number one, which obviously next week's going to be a big week.
Yeah, everything on at Alex Brasky on Twitter. The dailynewsonline.com is where you can find our daily coverage of the Bills from practice and games and whatnot. Also, Bills Digest, the season preview issue is available now. I'll be posting a link probably this weekend. And then you can also find that in Wegmans. And also the Right Here, Right Now podcast will be previewing that week one game coming up against the Cardinals. I think maybe a little bit more difficult of a matchup than people assume. That offense can really move the ball, I think, with Kyler Murray at the helm. It's just going to be a matter if they can stop anybody.
Well, we're going to find out what the weather's going to be like. So after we get to the next break, on the other side, we'll have Patrick Hammer, who's going to give us a little look ahead to maybe what it's going to be like in, 9 days from now. We'll talk about Labor Day weekend weather. But I'm a little upset, Alex, because he tweeted out earlier that we'll talk about the weather, and he put an eyeball emoji with a little rain emoji.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's certainly worse news for you than me. I'll be up in the press box in the friendly confines. You'll be out in the rain, so.
Yeah, you'll be nice and dry and warm.
Can you go umbrella?
No, I don't think I'm allowed to. I don't think I'm allowed to have an umbrella down there. I think because it blocks the view of people.
You'd be like that.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You'd be like a smaller version of the Boogermobile.
You know, that's an idea. Maybe we could do something like that. The year of COVID, I was down in the moat, the stands. I couldn't get on the field because of the rules and, you know, contact, close contact. And I think because there was no one in the stands, I was allowed to use an umbrella, but I don't think I did that year. I don't know. I don't know. I go to, listen, you know, you're down there on the sidelines. Tracy Wolfson, when she's there for CBS, they have this whole little like setup. It's like she's in a yurt, basically. Like she just goes in there. And I'm like, I want to go in there and share that with you. I want to get warm. You know, I mean, they take care of their sideline reporters. But we got to tough it out here on radio. All right. We got to be out there in the elements. So it's all right. We're going to find out what's going to happen. Alex, thanks for jumping on today. Enjoy your Labor Day weekend.
Thanks, Al.
All right. You got it. Alex Brasky right there. Good stuff from him. Batavia News and Batavia Daily and Right Here, Right Now podcast. Let's get to Orlando, who wants to chime in. Hey, Orlando, what's going on, man? You're on the Extra Point Show.
Hey, Sal, how are you?
I'm good.
Hey, you guys just had John on, Wildhead on. And
yep.
My son's a football player down here in high school. And he got an offer from Syracuse. And I'm jumping up and down here. And everybody else says, what? Because all they know is Florida State, you know.
I called you Orlando. You're calling from Orlando. I apologize for that. What's your name?
T. I just go by T.
T. Thank you, T. I appreciate. I apologize. It says Orlando on my screen, and I just mixed that up. But yeah. I appreciate. So yeah. I mean, listen. In the Syracuse, I will tell you this, T. The Florida to Syracuse pipeline, when I was there in the '90s, was alive and well. There were a lot of really big Florida players who went up to Syracuse, or at least guys from Florida that did well there. And then it went away for a long time. And I think they've really come back to that over the last several years.
Yeah, I think Fran has brought it back. Yeah, I think that they made the right choice there. But I'm just saying how. I called my brother up in West Seneca, you know. I got offered Syracuse. I'm jumping around. And my son's like, Dad? I'm like, you don't know what Syracuse means to us from Buffalo. You're going.
Okay. Well, a couple questions for you. What position does he play?
He's a cornerback. He has 4 SEC offers, 3 wow. 4 Big Ten offers, and 3 ACC offers. Right now.
That is amazing. Congratulations to him. Listen, I mean, I know as the dad, you're navigating through all this stuff. I'm sure it's a lot to sort through with all this stuff that's going on with NIL and stuff like that. And I'm sure like any good dad, you're going to allow your son to make the best decision that's for him. But how much of it is you kind of, how much of it is you going, you know, Syracuse, pretty good spot, and the family can watch you?
Well, no, my thing is to him is go where you want it.
Yep.
Where they really want you to play. It doesn't have to be the big SEC school or everything else because you never know. But go where you're going to get a degree.
Yep.
Where they really care about you getting a degree and where they're going to take care of you. You know? Yes. Yeah. But this NIL stuff, because we're old school. I'm saying you and me. We're old school.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. I don't even know how to approach it.
It's wild. Let me ask a question. As a parent, this is good stuff, T. As a parent, how do you approach it? Do you like hire someone or have someone that understands the rules and navigating and what's best? Like, do you have to, have some sort of consultant? Like, how do you go about that?
Well, I'm hoping that I have time because he's a sophomore, rising junior now. He's a junior now.
Okay.
So he's got 2 years left. And wow. I'm hoping I have time to, you know, sit back, read about it, talk about it, listen to your – that's why I was listening to John. I wanted to know exactly how they were doing it. I didn't know they were doing, what, 20 million NIL from the schools and whatever John else was saying. I don't know if you remember any of the stuff he was talking about there, but I don't know. It's a different time, and I tell you what. It kind of takes away the joy of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. For sure. Becomes it's a business way earlier than it ever should be for these young athletes.
Yeah, and the parents too. And the parents too, because you don't want him jumping around a portal. And this is what I really want for my son. I want him to know his alma mater song. That's what I want.
Sure.
You know, proud that you went to Niagara U, or Canisius, and that's where you went for 4 years, and you know your fight song and everything else. So
hey, what's been your interaction with Coach Brown? Like, have you gotten to know him at all?
Not really as much as you. The way it works, you know more of your position coaches than you do of your head coach, because head coach is just so busy. He's pretty much everywhere until you go for an official visit. Once you make that official visit, then you might speak to him once. You know what I'm saying? But for the most part, it's your position coach who's doing the deal, the weekly phone calls or whatever it is. Those are the guys it is. And I guess a guy like Coach Brown would definitely rely on his position coaches to say, okay, this is who you want. Where's your board? That's the person you want, and that's the person we're going to offer. So for me, my son, he got his first offer for Syracuse and back in May. Okay. He got his first offer. And since then, now he has 12.
All right, one more thing before I let you go. I appreciate this phone call as a dad down there. Are you familiar with, have you seen, former Bills wide receiver Gabe Davis has what's called the Draft Academy, and it's in Orlando. Do you know about this?
Yes, I heard about the Draft Academy. And yes, we're looking in it.
Okay. Okay. Well, I've been there. I visited. And I will tell you, the things that, you know, they're doing down there and Gabe and his team is doing to help young athletes get into, you know, transition to college and be ready for that work and some of the coaches they have and the trainers they have, and then even the athletes who are already in the NFL that are a part of that. I'm just going to tell you, I think it would be really beneficial maybe for you to look into it, and there's going to be some people that you can lean on there. So they're just, I'm recommending that to you, and I would definitely do that.
I definitely will. Thanks a lot.
You got it, buddy. Thanks. And tell them Sal sent you, all right, T?
I will.
You got it, buddy. Thank you. Appreciate that. Good stuff there, right there. T down in Orlando. Yeah, I've been to the Draft Academy. It's Gabe Davis's business. And I visited, actually, last March when I was down. Gabe had already signed with the Jags. But I went over to visit the Draft Academy, see what he was doing there with him and his team. And they're doing some amazing things for young athletes down there. And it's just, in this day and age, you have to have people be advocates for you, look out for you, and try to help you. And there's a lot of NFL players who are part of it, and him and his team and his trainers. So anyway, T, go do that. Go look up the Draft Academy, you'll have Bert. Bert is a big is a guy there that works with Gabe a lot, so you'll be in good hands. All right, we'll take a timeout. Patrick Hammer joining us after this timeout. Talk about the weather for Labor Day and a look ahead to next week, week one of the NFL. Up next on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
When you need to know what to wear, is it going to rain? Is it going to snow? What to prepare for? You're about to find out. Here's Sal Capaccio with your game day forecast with Channel 2 weatherman extraordinaire. Here's Patrick.
Have a time.
Well, there is a game next week, not this weekend. There's some college football going on this weekend, and then we're into week number one. So we're still 9 days away from the Bills opener at Highmark Stadium against the Arizona Cardinals. Joining me on the Wester Hotline right now is our guy, WGRZ-TV2 Chief Meteorologist Patrick Hammer. I'm kind of mad at you right now. You put me in a not a good spot earlier today, just so you know that.
Oh, that's good. That. Okay, that's a great way to start. Let's
so, go. Yeah, I mean, that's what happens. You're the weatherman, so you have to, you know this goes along with the territory. You retweeted that you were going to be on, and then you said, and we'll talk about next week's weather forecast. You put an eyeball emoji with a rain emoji, and I got really mad.
Okay. Yeah. Let's start the discussion. Okay.
Yeah. Let's go. Let's start there.
Weekend. We'll start there. Okay. So here's the deal. Overall, and by the way, it was a rain like sun emoji.
Yes. It wasn't like fully on poor umbrella. It was sun with rain.
Okay. So here's the deal. We are what is it? 9 days away from the game. So remember, that's a long way out. Overall, here's what we do. Here's a for sure for next Sunday. It's not going to be hot, okay? Not hot. Kind of like the way you and I were described in college. Not hot. but temperatures will probably be in the 70s, okay? That we know. The only thing that I put those eyeballs on there is that there's something, a little weak disturbance spinning in the atmosphere nearby, okay? And this is the time of the year that these things can spin up a few showers, and I would be lying to you if, even though your app and a lot of stuff that you see for next Sunday says sunny and 75 or whatever, I can't ignore that little feature, okay? Does it go away? Does it slide to the east, giving us a beautiful Sunday? Is that a possibility? Absolutely. I think 74 and sunny is a real possibility. However,
okay,
with this little, this is what you look at these little features for, because they can mean something. I recall, we've talked about this often, sometimes you see things far out that turn into nothing, or sometimes they turn into something. I remember talking about the Ravens game 2 years ago when we saw something tropical 10 days out, and it turned out to be a downpour, the game in Baltimore. This is kind of one of those things, not a downpour, but something we can see. We hope it goes away. We hope it drifts somewhere else. But for now, I can't say that a shower chance is impossible. Okay?
Okay, well, and even as you say that, you're saying the word chance in there. It's not like even if it rained, we don't think at this point it would be some sort of Baltimore scenario.
No, it's not that. And, you know, any time you're a 7 to 9 days out, you would never put 100% chance on anything, right? So I'm planning on comfortable weather. I'm planning on a nice day, but I got to keep an eye on this little thing because it could scare up some showers for Sunday and next week. But, you know, we may revisit next week and go with nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. We'll talk next Friday and find out. When you say not hot, how cool could it get?
Like, okay, I heard Joe talking about the last time the Cardinals were in town was in 2016 season, and the weather was perfect because the temperature was like 70, and that's what we're thinking. Probably upper 60s to low 70s. So when I mean not hot, this isn't going to be one of those hot, you know, early season games where it's in the 80s and 90s. Don't see that happening. This looks like, temperature-wise, very comfortable.
All right. I love it. Okay, well, you made me feel a little bit better after that. I know that it's 9 days out. We'll keep monitoring. We'll have you on next week. We'll talk about it. What about Labor Day weekend? How does that look here in Buffalo? We have this thing on Memorial Day. You know how we talk about it every year. Memorial Day is amazing, and it was again this year. What about Labor Day?
Yeah. So Labor Day, okay, let's start with, well, let's go through it day by day. Today, beautiful. Yep. Tonight, late tonight, tomorrow morning, some showers for any late night revelers. There could be some showers or a couple of downpours to navigate overnight tonight. For tomorrow, there will be some showers around mid to late morning, probably until about noon, 1 o'clock, and then they should push off to the east. So is there a rain chance tomorrow for the first half of the day? Yeah, there could be a little dry time in there as well. But once we're beyond, let's say 1-2 o'clock, we're all clear. And, if you're heading out, doing anything outside, going to the Wing Fest, it looks good, in the afternoon and evening. Sunday looks gorgeous, but it will be windy, a breezy day. It's a windy day on Sunday. Temperatures both Saturday and Sunday in the 70s. I would say anytime after 4 to 6 PM, a quick little shower may skirt through quickly. Do not alter your plans because of it. And we're leading to a Labor Day, rather, that will be kind of on the cooler side. Sunshine, upper 60s for Labor Day. So, two issues.
Okay.
Some showers first half of tomorrow and a little bit of wind on Sunday.
And you and I will both be at Wing Fest judging wings. That's always a great time. That's on Sunday, by the way, we'll be there. And we should be okay there. A little windy, though.
A little windy, yeah, but one of the things that I love having the Wing Fest where it is now at Highmark is that sometimes that breeze is awesome. When it was at Salem Field, which was fine, it can get really hot down there. You know, when you're eating wings and you got sauce all over your face and it's hot and still. At Highmark, you get a nice breeze in there, and it just kind of makes it feel good and fresh and everything. So it's a lot of fun. You and I are going to have I can't wait to see you and Max there. It's going to be a good time, good food, and good wings, rather, of course. And hopefully this year I don't have to do what I did 2 years ago, which was do the bobbing for wings in a vat of blue cheese on stage.
Oh, that's right. You did that.
That was good. Yeah.
I remember that for sure.
I think I still have an odor of blue cheese.
We just had... like earlier today, we were talking a few different things. I had a fantasy football draft last night for the Bills media, like people in the media room. There's so many people. We have two different leagues, actually, at the end. We kind of play off at the end. Are you a fantasy football player?
So I am with my some of my pals actually out in California, which means that I'm the sole representative of kind of an East Coast, you know, based team. I will admit... I depend upon my 16-year-old son to help me figure out what the heck I'm doing. I'm new at it. I can't claim to be really good at it. And I just started it. Last year was my first year doing a fantasy league. So, yes, I am in a fantasy league, but with serious help from others. Because in terms of trade, you know, it's just I'm new to the whole thing. Yeah, it's fun.
All right. Well, I totally get that. Now, you mentioned California. I know you have a lot of ties there. I had Syracuse Athletic Director John Wildhack on, and we are now living in an era where two teams that are in California are in the Atlantic Coast Conference. Stanford, who you, I know, have a tie there, and Cal. I mean, what is – this is crazy, Pat.
I was looking at USC and who they're playing. Rutgers and Penn State. I'm like, wait, what?
Oh, my God. I know.
I mean, it's just crazy. So, you know, but to see, you know, Stanford Cardinal and the Bears play against your team, I mean, it's a new experience. It's going to be fun. I mean, legacy football from those teams. a lot of history, obviously. Great players have come from both programs, and as you know. And I think it's kind of cool, but it's just weird to see the schedule and see all this cross-country travel. A lot of these California or West Coast teams are not doing.
Well, that part is cool. What's not cool is there's no more Pac-12. I mean, there is. There's literally two teams left in the Pac-12. It's sad, man.
I know. I grew up, it was the Pac-10 for me, and it was, you know, all of the teams, just great rivalries. I remember being at the Cal-Stanford game during the play where the lateral in 1981 took the team into the end zone and hit the guys in the band, you know, that famous play. I was there. Yep. So many great rivalries that are now gone. I mean, you still have USC Notre Dame, but you don't have USC Stanford or USC. I mean, it's just the whole thing's different. I'm going to miss that terribly.
And then finally, when I was talking with John Wildhack, we were trying to navigate all this NIL portal stuff. All right, here's my question for you. You're at college, and NIL, right? It comes in. Here's NIL. We can spend it on meteorologists too, right? Where's your name, image, likeness going? Like, what is the, I don't know, the restaurant, the car dealership, like who you're like, you know what, that would have been me when I was in college. I needed the deal with that particular entity.
Well, it would have to be a business that unfortunately nobody's familiar with here because it was a San Francisco, being from San Francisco.
It's okay.
You can look it up. It's called Trader Vic's.
Okay. What'd they do?
A lot of time. It was a Polynesian restaurant that we always ended up at every night somehow from my teenage years through college. It was actually, there's one in Los Angeles too, but it was a famous San Francisco institution. And it was just kind of, it's just kind of where you went. Great scene, great experience. You didn't give me a lot of time to think about this because I think there'd be but this is just the first thing that popped in my mind. And it's got a great name and a great history. And I don't know. I think that would be something I would somehow.
Is it still around?
Be behind. I don't know if the Los Angeles location is still around. I know the San Francisco location did close. Because, I mean, this place was like hopping in the 1950s and 60s and 70s. And was kind of just anybody that was in that area knew of Trader Vic's. It was just the place, the local joint.
There you go. Well, we're going to get a deal for you, NIL, for Patrick Hammer with Trader Vic's. Thanks a lot, buddy. Listen, enjoy your Labor Day weekend. Looking forward to our chats every Friday, like today, and we'll talk more about what it looks like for that opener next Friday when we catch up. Thank you.
All right. See you Sunday.
All right. You got it. See you Sunday. That's for sure. At Wingfest. I'll be out there. Patrick will be as well as some other media. All right. Real quick. Carl. Let's get to Carl real quick. Carl, how are you? Thanks for holding through all this, and you're on the Extra Point Show.
Yeah, no problem, Sal. It's always a pleasure talking. So, first and foremost, big priority for everybody out there, a must-do Northtown Key at 3900 Sheridan and Amherst, 10 to 12, to see the man, Sal Capaccio. Okay, I'm coming from Connecticut. I'm going to try and get there. I hope I get to meet you in person. You're awesome.
I love it. Make sure you do.
One. You're welcome. Thank you. Number two, question. So, the second half of the season last year, we seem to hold our own about things. So now we have a new core of receivers. I have two, but kind of a two-part question, I guess. Who do you see that can get separation? I feel like who we have now is really, that doesn't exist to some degree like we'd like it to, let's just say. That's number one. The second part of that, I also feel like, and I think it was brought up earlier on your program, I think they are preparing to do more 10, let's say 15-yard passes, because the way I see it is with the new rule change with the kickoffs, a lot of teams potentially, depending on where the ball drops, have a better chance of getting good field position versus the 30 or 40. With that said, if we do more short passes and we're not trying to unload long balls, we take more time off the clock, which I think when you're playing in Kansas City, you want to try and do, but you still want to get points on the board when you're making those long drives. And lastly, I just happened to be looking at Time Magazine. Do you think we could get Noah Lyles? He was known as the Flash in the Olympics, supposed to be with the world's fastest runner.
So I don't know if he has any.
I'm on the way.
I can listen. All right, I'm going to put you on hold. I'm also going to take a break. I'll come back. So, Carl, I'll put you on hold. I'll come back. I'll answer all those questions the best I can because I got to take this break, and then we'll wrap up the Extra Point Show as I answer those questions here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. All right, to answer your questions, Carl, number one, where's separation coming from? I think you're going to get a lot more separation horizontally than vertically, but Curtis Samuel can certainly run, and I think that would be the guy that you'd use mostly in that situation. Keon Coleman, as I always say, separation with his body, not so much his speed, but he can get separation in that manner. Number two, Noah Lyles. I guarantee you, NFL teams are poking on that and looking into it, but not sure if he has really NFL experience. Football experience, haven't looked into that much, but it takes a lot more to play than just run fast. A lot of teams have tried that with Olympic sprinters. It just hasn't necessarily worked out. So thanks for the phone call on that. Yes, he is right. I will see everybody next Thursday at Northtown Kia for this show. Come by. Paula's Donuts, WGR giveaways, 10 to 12 next Thursday. In the meantime, have a great Labor Day weekend. Sabres Live up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.